The Bible says in verse 1 of Luke 2, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying," will you read verse 14 with me? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of a not so silent night. A not so silent night. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the privilege we have to open this book and consider what it says to us. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to every heart that's here this morning. And Lord, I pray that as you broke the silence so many years ago, that we would break the silence for those around us. That we would help them see the light that you have shined into this world and to hear the story that Jesus saves. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do today. I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I want you to just think about this fact, and we do sing the song, I love the song, Silent Night, but in all reality, by the time we get to that night, the silence had been broken. And there was anything but silence on that night. And then that night was followed by much noise, in a sense, if you will, that sort of rumbled through the community of those who heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Later on, whenever this King Herod put to death those children, that cleansing, if you will, trying to keep the threat to his throne from being there, there was great wailing and weeping. And so this event produced something other than silence, even though we enjoy singing that song, Silent Night. And the reality is, none of us should be silent about this story. It's the story that the whole world needs to hear. It's the story that your neighbors need. It's the story that I needed when I was that young man, 19 years old, and I mean as backwards as they come, and running away from God, living in sin and absolute wickedness. And a man was kind enough to ask me if I knew for sure if I died today I would go to heaven. The silence was broken in my heart and life on that day. Now, I had heard the gospel, I had heard some things, and my family was not a church-going family or anything like that, but I'd been to church, I had heard about Jesus and things like that. I knew there was a heaven and a hell, but on that particular occasion, when someone personally reached out to me with the message and with the light of the gospel, it connected. And the silence was broken in my heart and life. The darkness, if you will, was removed. And so when we come to this event, as I said, the silence is broken. I want to just kind of bring your mind up to speed to what's happening here. And most of you are very familiar with this, so we won't take a long time to make this journey of Christmas, but I want you to think about this with me. The silence was broken a few months before this event when God sent the angel Gabriel to announce the birth of a baby by the name of John. Turn in your Bible back to Luke chapter 1. By the way, I sure love the Gospel of Luke. Amen. Isn't it a blessing to have this book in your hands today? Luke chapter 1 and verse number 11. And notice here we have, and we're going to jump into the story. Zacharias is performing his duty there in the temple, and his wife Elizabeth is at home. And in verse number 11, the Bible says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." Now, isn't it interesting today, by the way, all these people that have these near-death experiences and they go to heaven and talk to God and then they come back to earth to tell you what God had to say? None of them are scared to death at all, it seems. All of them just kind of, you know, talk as if God is that happy-go-lucky grandfather in the sky. But when someone saw God or saw an angel that represented God in the Bible, it always struck fear into their hearts. And when we enter into the presence of God, I mean, it commands attention. And so this guy, Zacharias, suddenly is scared to death, but the angel said unto him, "Fear not." Now, those are great words in the Bible. Do not take them lightly, because when here's something important for us to understand. Sometimes God moves into our life to do something special, and it may seem uncomfortable. It may even seem scary, but when God is moving into your life or moving in your life, and He is coming to you to do something in your life, He wants you to fear not. It's good when God moves in your life. You know, sometimes God moves in your life to reveal sin. Sometimes God moves in your life to not just reveal sin, but sometimes to move you. Sometimes to remove people from your life that aren't supposed to be there. There's all kinds of ways that God moves, and when God is working, don't be afraid of that. Submit to it. Yield to it. Let God have His way in it. And so this angel says to Zacharias, this old man, by the way, he was an old man at this time. And notice what it says. The angel says, "Zacharias, fear not, for thy prayer is heard." Boy, there's a message right there, isn't it? What do you think this old timer had been praying about? Here's an old guy who's past the age, really, of raising children, and he's married to a woman who's past the age of having children, and he's still saying, "Oh God, would you bless us with a son? Dear God, would you please give us a little boy? My wife is heartbroken because she's one of these women in Israel that doesn't have a child." And I want to tell you, that was kind of a shame at that time. It bothered them to not have a son to go on for God. And so here's this old man holding out faithful in his prayers. Now I'm going to talk to you a little bit about waiting on the Lord this morning. And that's one of the things that you see here. This guy was patiently, persistently praying for a prayer that hadn't been answered in many, many years. But the angel shows up and says, "Don't be afraid. God heard your prayers." I just think that's awesome. All of this worked in the plan of God. But Zacharias and Elizabeth didn't know this. We look back at this. Perhaps if he had not been praying in the way that he was praying and been faithful to God in the way that he was faithful to God, perhaps God would have chosen some other person to be the parents of John the Baptist. But because he was faithful, because he was praying, because he was seeking, because they were faithful to God, God answered that prayer. And he says, "And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." Say amen right there. Never thought we'd battle alcohol in fundamental churches like we're having to battle it today. I hope your mind's made up about that. Amen. He says, "Neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." And the point is that John goes on to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to just say this early. God was moving to raise up a light for the people of Israel so that they could know that the Savior, the light of the world, was on His way. And that's basically what John's ministry was all about. He was different than everyone else, but he was God's servant that was sent out, the forerunner of His Son. So we have this event, and that's when the silence was broken. 400 years of silence is broken here. Go with me 6 months later, or 6 months forward into the future, and you have the angel, I believe the very same angel, visiting Mary, verse number 26, Luke 1, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Man, you talk about an announcement. Amen. You talk about an amazing event here, and it's so familiar with us, we read over it and don't even think about it. I mean, this is an event that was beyond all the events that you could dream up. This was an amazing thing. This is the time when God's Son is being announced about coming to this earth and coming to live in a body of flesh so that He could die on a cruel cross so that all of us could go to heaven. I mean, what an event. And Mary's response is wonderful. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She just basically went, how's God going to do this? And the angel goes on to explain to her the miraculous event that would occur and how that she would have a son. And it would be because of the Holy Ghost, verse 35. And then in verse number 36, he mentions Elizabeth, your cousin, also is pregnant. And she's going to have a son in her old age. And she had been barren. And look at verse number 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And I love what Mary says in verse 38. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. By the way, you know God didn't have to come back to Mary over and over and prop her up. He didn't have to come back over and over and remind her and tell her and speak to her. He didn't have to constantly prod her to do what was right. She took God at His word. And by faith, she carried on. So we have this silence being broken, this 400 years. Now, think about this. You have the Old Testament prophets leading up to that period of 400 years of silence. You have the temple rebuilt. You have all kinds of different things that have taken place. But suddenly the heavens go silent. There's no angel that speaks. There's no prophet that has a new word from God for 400 years. And what happens when there's silence? What happens when there's darkness? What happens when there's no one proclaiming the truth of God? Well, you know a verse in Proverbs 29:18, don't you? Where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. And that's exactly what was taking place. People were dying in darkness. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1 says, The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord, listen, was precious in those days. There was no open vision. The Bible tells us in Lamentations chapter 2 verse 9, as they approached this time of silence when God stopped speaking, when God stopped sending a Jeremiah, when God stopped sending a Daniel, when God stopped sending an Ezekiel, when God just turned it off, the Bible says in Lamentations 2:9, her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. Listen, the law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. The world did wait in silence. The world did wait in darkness. Now, was everyone kind of just giving in to this silence? Was there anybody that was hoping that God was about to move? Well, we read about an old man here that was praying. We know that Simeon, later goes into the temple, and Simeon sees what he's been waiting for, the consolation of Israel, the Son of God. So there are those, the remnant, if you will, and I believe we're living in a day of the remnant now. I believe that we're living in another period of silence in many ways and in many places. There are people that are not hearing the Word of God. It's not silent like it was then, but it's silent. And by the way, there's no new revelation coming. This is all we need. It's all we're going to get. God shouldn't have to come back with an angel to bolster us. He doesn't need to send a four-year-old to heaven to come back and tell us a story about what he saw with rainbows and unicorns or whatever. God doesn't have to prop us up. We have the truth of God right here, and it's what we ought to be standing on. And so you have this period of silence, and I want you to understand that we need to learn from this time. That sometimes it does seem like God's work is going way too slow. Now I'll tell you, I've had to learn that lesson in my own life. When it comes to praying for someone and watching God work in their life, I want it done right now. I'm a checklist kind of person. I'm a guy that wants to be able to come in and do some kind of job and see the results and be done with it. I am the kind of person, and most people I believe are this way, if you can't see some results, you don't really want to even start. But we can't be that way in the work of the Lord. You know, God doesn't work at your pace. He works at His. What is it in Galatians chapter 4? The Bible tells us there that it was in the fullness of time that God sent forth His Son. He wasn't rushing, but He also wasn't holding back. But right at the perfect time, God sent forth His Son. God's plan usually requires us to wait. Zacharias had been waiting, and Elizabeth had been waiting for years for a child. And then I think it's interesting that Zacharias, because of his unbelief, the Lord made him wait even longer to be able to speak about this son that was going to be born. So there is this principle of being willing to wait on the Lord. It's something that is unique for us as believers because we know that God is at work, and because of that, we should be willing to wait on Him. And when God's time is right, He enjoys, I believe, breaking the silence. I believe God enjoys seeing the people's response. I believe that God just, you know, if you're thinking about Christmas right now, you know, this is the time of year you have whatever that special gift is in mind for some special person. And sometimes it's so hard to wait to give that gift to that person. Whenever I get my wife a gift that I know she's going to love, first of all, she got the greatest gift she's ever been given on the day she got saved. And then the second greatest gift, and she doesn't need anything beyond this, and she'll admit to this, was the day she married me. We got married in December, by the way. December the 19th. We'll be celebrating our 20... I believe it's 29 coming up here. And I've loved it every day. I love her more and more every day. But I'll tell you what, you talk about something that's difficult for me. When I know I've got a special gift that she's just going to love, it is so hard for me not to give it to her early. I mean, I just can't stand it. It just tears me up. You know, God, though, is going to wait. And He's going to make us wait. Now, waiting is a time of growing. Waiting is a time of trusting. Waiting is a time of testing. That matter of waiting, that's the great faith tester. That's what the waiting is about. I remember when I came to Ambassador, I was, 21 years old when I got here, January of 91. I turned 22. No, I turned 21 here. And I was really excited. I'd been here for a whole semester and went back to my home church to knock on doors all summer long. And I thought right then, I've got to get out of this place so I can change the world right now. And God, of course, in His sovereign plan, had me wait. Can I tell you, there may be some exception here and there, but it is very, extremely, in fact, almost never true that God wants a young person to leave college early. I mean, that's almost never true. There may be one here, one there that God has used in that way, but I want to tell you, there's a reason God has you here, and He is making progress in your life, even if it doesn't appear to be evident in your grades. But God is working. And that working involves sometimes waiting. As I said, waiting is the great time, is the great faith tester. But while you wait on the Lord, Psalm 27:14. And you should be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart as you wait on Him. I remember Dr. Childs used to talk to us a lot about being willing to wait on the Lord. And I thought very little of his encouragement then because I didn't want to wait on anything. I still have trouble with it. But the reality is that that is a part of God's plan for us, and we see it in His sovereign work in this world. Psalm 37:34 says, "Wait on the Lord and keep His way." Proverbs 20:22. That's not the right verse. Let me see here. Wait, maybe it is. Proverbs 20:22. "Say not, I will recompense evil." Yeah, this is it. "But wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee." I think about the idea behind that verse of there. Sometimes there's a desire in the heart that wants to maybe straighten someone out, wants to maybe clear something up. You feel like you've been wronged or been treated unfairly. Sometimes you just need to wait on God to work that out. Waiting on the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 tells us about how those Thessalonians had been changed. And one of the key aspects that Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, points out about them is that they were willing to wait for His Son from heaven. They were enduring tremendous persecution. Learning to wait on the Lord is one of the most difficult lessons the child of God ever learns, but it is also one of the most important ones. But the silence was broken. Why? Why did God break that silence? Well, first of all, because the time was right. But secondly, because He had promised long before to do so. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. In verse number 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18 here. You have the story of Joseph being informed by God that this was God's son, that Mary had not been unfaithful. We didn't even consider this. But the time that Joseph had to wait for this message must have been grueling for him. It must have been terrible. But it says in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, this how it happened, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together." Now the Bible makes a big deal about that, and it does so because it's so important, the virgin birth of Christ. "Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It's a good place to say amen. Amen. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." You know the rest of the story. Joseph was, when he awoke, he did exactly what the Lord said. He honored what God had told him. But I want you to notice there in verse 22, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled." You see, not only do we see that the silence was broken, we see that there was a promise given. The reason the silence was broken is because, listen to me, God keeps His promises. Can I encourage you to think about this today? You need to claim some promises in the Word of God. Amen. You need to ask God to identify some truth that He wants to make real in your life. We miss this fact sometimes. God does not just work in the crowd. God works in the individual. God cares about you. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about the situation that you're involved in. He cares about what you're going to do with your life. He cares about what you are thinking about every day. He cares about the struggle that you're having. And maybe, and I want to encourage you, by the way, there may be a student here thinking, boy, I cannot wait to get away from here. And as soon as I get home, I'm never going back. Let me tell you, God cares about that. Maybe there's a student here who's, your finances are a struggle. And you're wondering if you're going to be able to even return for the next semester. Can I tell you something? God cares about you and that need, and there is a promise in the Word of God. Please don't look at it and say, oh, that was for them long ago, or oh, that applies to someone else. God wants it to be for you personally. He cares about you. And He will keep His promise to you. You say, well, sometimes I'll read a verse and the application is to someone else or to some other event. Let me tell you a little story about Dr. Ernest Gambrell. He's the director of our mission board. He's 85 years old, still plugging away, man. I hope if I make it to 65, I've got the energy that guy has at 85. I'm serious about that. He's old like some of these other people around here, you know, and still going. Amen. Thank you. A little chuckle. I appreciate that. Dr. Gambrell was a missionary in Mexico. And he had a motorcycle wreck. And when he did, he tore his leg up really bad. He went to the doctors in Mexico. This was in the 60s, I believe. May have been 50s, but I think it was the 60s. And he went to the doctor. And the doctor treated his leg as well as he could. But he started getting worse and worse. He had a high fever. His leg was infected. They were concerned about having to amputate it if something didn't change. And he got before God in his living room there. He was scared he was going to have to leave the field because of this problem. And he began to pray and he began to read his Bible. And he got into the book of Isaiah. And the passage that reads, I want to say it's in Isaiah 61 or 62, I'm not sure exactly, but it says there, make bare the leg. He said, I just felt like God was speaking to me personally. He took all those bandages off that they'd been keeping on there for weeks. And when the air got to that leg and began to be able to have an impact on his leg and it began to dry up and he got better. You say, well, preacher, come on, that's nonsense. Absolutely not. God took the Word of God in a personal way and spoke to this man's heart so that he could stay on the field and keep preaching Christ to people that needed to hear it. And folks, listen, I'm just telling you, that's one example of many where God speaks to people through the Word of God, and there will be some promises that you can claim. And God broke His silence because of a promise that He had made long before. In fact, Revelation 13:8 calls Jesus the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 15 tells us that as soon as man went astray, God made a promise that the Redeemer would come. For sake of time, we're not going to go there and read it, but Galatians 3:15 is the first announcement of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's plan of redemption was not reactionary. It's not an afterthought. It's not a plan B. It was in place in the heart and mind of God from the foundation of the world. It was planned. It was promised. It was prophesied. It was pictured and it was personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it was performed at Calvary. Jesus died. He was born of a virgin so that He could die for sinful men. And guess what? It should be proclaimed. Amen. The silence was broken because a promise was given. But I want you to notice one last thing this morning. What happens when the silence is broken? Go back to Luke chapter 2, if you would. Luke chapter 2. And notice a couple of places here where we see people hearing about or seeing Jesus for the first time. We're going to go in a reverse order, by the way. But in Luke 2, verse 25, you see the first person that's outside of the family, so to speak, that hears about Jesus in a public way. It says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout." God always has his remnant, and this man was a part of it. And it says here, "And the same man was, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." What a wonderful personal promise God made to this man. It says, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy words, for mine eyes have seen thy" what? Salvation. By the way, God's salvation doesn't come in some kind of practice or performance. It comes in a person. His name is Jesus. "Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Now listen to verse 32. "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Boy, Mary and Joseph were kind of surprised at what this man had to say about their newborn son. Look at verse number 36. You have a lady that comes in as well. Anna, the prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Man, we need some good godly widows that'll be praying people like that today. It says in verse 38, "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Now listen to that again. Here's this lady's reaction to the silence being broken, to seeing the very Son of God who was born to take away the sins of the world. Notice what it says about her. It says, "And she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." You know what that tells me? I believe this woman had a little prayer group. They've been praying for God to work. And by the way, it's exciting when you see God's people start to pray. We've had some prayer meetings breaking out in our church family, and I am so excited to see what God's going to do. Since COVID, we've been through some hard times, and most churches can say the same thing. But when God's people get under the burden and then they respond by praying, man, ooh, it gets exciting to think about what God might do. Could you imagine how thrilled this woman was to be able to go back to her little prayer group or her little Bible study and say, "I have seen him"? Man, I'm telling you, folks, this is exciting stuff. This is the kind of thing that we've been waiting for. This is what they were waiting for 400 years. The silence was broken. And all of a sudden, this woman runs back and tells the people that she knows, the ones that have been looking for redemption. Can I tell you, there's someone somewhere in the world right now, maybe somebody you work with, maybe somebody you'll see when you go back home, and they've been looking for redemption. They don't even know what they're looking for, but they're looking for something. That's exactly how I was at age 19. I was looking for something, but man, I was looking in all the wrong places. And someone broke the silence in my life. Go with me to one other little portion back in chapter 2 here, verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15, "It came to pass as the angels were gone away." This is the crowd they spoke to. "That multitude of the heavenly host came down and told these shepherds about the Lord Jesus Christ." Told him it was a fulfillment of promise. And it says here, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And by the way, if you mark your Bible, you ought to underline that. Because if you know about Jesus Christ, it's because the Lord has made him known to you. And there's people that don't know him today. There are people in distant lands and people that are even your neighbors that don't know Jesus. They've never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says, the Lord has made this known unto us. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, listen, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 4? Matthew chapter 4. Now, are you with me? Are you really with me? I mean, let me hear you out there, students. It's okay. You have permission to say amen. Can you say amen this morning? Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say hallelujah? Now, I want to teach you to say it right. It's hallelujah. There you go, hallelujah. If you ever go over to East Tennessee Mountains and preach, they're going to say hallelujah. Man, I still can't spell hallelujah right without my help on my phone. But anyway, Matthew 4:16. Now listen, this is where we've been headed for all this. The silence was broken. This was not so silent night, the night that Jesus' birth came. The announcement went out. And it was the result of a promise of God that this occurred. But I want you to know something should happen when the silence is broken. Matthew 4:16 says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. The world sat in darkness. The world sat in silence from heaven. There was desperation, and when there is no open vision, when there's no one proclaiming the truth, people perish. And I want to tell you, there's somebody out there right now, they're in darkness. They're in silence. They've never heard the truth of the Word of God. And I want to tell you, you just might be the one that gets to break that silence for them. You just might be the one that God uses like a Gabriel. You might be that one like these shepherds that were able to go, or that one like Anna was that got to declare that she had seen the Redeemer. Listen to me. This information that we have, the entire world needs it. There's people right now in America, right next door to churches, sitting in silence, sitting in darkness. There are countries still today, I think it's amazing to understand this, but we need to understand it. There are countries today, cities of a million people in some cases, that are sitting in darkness and silence. You need to be the light. You need to be the truth. You need to be the voice that breaks the silence. I hope that as you leave the halls of the campus here for Christmas break, that you'll understand that God's going to give you opportunity to be around some people who need to hear from God. Some of them may already be saved. They may be like Anna's little group. You might even be somebody's answer to prayer, one of those little groups. And when you go home and see that little widow lady, man, you're going to just make her day, and you won't even realize what an encouragement you'll be to her. And some of your old school friends and people like that that have left the church, or maybe walked away from God, or were never saved to start with, they're watching you. They're wondering about you. And God wants to use you to make a difference. Would you break the silence concerning Jesus? Break the silence for the Savior.